Today, Shir's Masechet Nedarim on Daf Nun Dalet. We begin at the top of Daf Nun Dalet with a new Perek, Hanoyder Min HaYorek. Let us begin with a brief Hagdama to the Mishnah and to the Perek. In this Perek, the Tana continues explaining what people mean when they say a Neder and are referring to specific items, what are included in those items. And the first two Mishnayos of this Perek are in fact speaking about a continuation of last Perek, which was food items and things that are growing from the ground. Vegetables. Now in vegetables, we have three different types of vegetables. We have yarok, which are green leafy vegetables, such as cabbage and lettuce. We have zroyim, seeds like legumes, dry beans, peas, and grain. And then we have what's referred to as peiros ha'adama. The brach, in fact, is borei pri adama. These are fruits of the plant, such as tomatoes, cucumbers, and diluin gourds, which is the subject of the first case of our Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Hanoidim and Ayorok, if a person says that a yorok should be prohibited on me, what does he mean to include in that word yorok? Mutter bedaluit. What he means to include are the green leafy vegetables. He does not mean to include gourds. The Ran has two pshatim here, and he continues with these two pshatim in his pirish of the Gemara. There are two ways to learn our Gemara based on these two primary pshatim that the first Ran mentions here. The reason that the luin are not included in yarok, in green vegetables, the first pshat says the Ran, the loy have a yarok al pri. It's not in the category, the type of vegetable that's referred to as greens. Those are the leafy vegetables like cabbage and lettuce. And it would not refer to gourds, which are the pre-adama. These are the fruit of those of vegetables. However, Istam Mefarshi, the Ran brings down a second pshat. The stam yorek nechel kamoy shuchai, a regular green vegetable, when a person refers to that, he's speaking about something that's eaten raw. Udiluyin enekein. Diluyin gourds are not eaten raw, and in fact, Meforshim of the Mishnah say we're speaking about the delas hamitzri, the Egyptian gourd, which requires a tremendous amount of cooking in order to make it edible. So since he used the word yorek, which refers to raw, things that are eaten raw, he was not referring to a gourd which requires cooking. For Rabbi Kiva, however, Rabbi Kiva prohibits, and he says that diluyin, although it's basically pre-adam, it's the fruit, but it could be included in yorek as well. And the reasoning of Rabbi Kiva we will see further in the Mishnah. Amru loy le Rabbi Kiva, so the Chachamim said to Rabbi Kiva, those who argued against Rabbi Kiva said to him, we will bring you a proof that gourd should not be included in yorek. V'aloy oimer adam l'shluchai. Kach li yorek, a person says to his messenger, bring me, buy for me a yorek from the marketplace. V'hu oimer, and the shliach goes there and he looks around for yorekos, and he comes back to the Mishaleich, the one who sent him, and he says, Loi matzasi ela diluyin, all I found was gourds. So as the Ran explains, and the Rosh explains as well, if diluyin were part of yorok, then he would have not come back to question the Mishaleich, do you want me to get the gourds? He would have gotten them. He would have taken them. Why did he hesitate? Why did he not buy them? Why did he come back to the Mishaleich and ask him, do you want me to get gourds because I don't find any other yarokas? That's a proof that diluyin are not part of yarok. Amar lohem, said Rabbi Kiva as a retort back to the Chachamim, kein adover. As the Ran explains, what you're bringing me as a question against me is the very source from where I prove my point. What? Why? Because Oishema Oimer Hu Lematzasi Elikitnias. Does he come back to the Mishaleich and say? Does he say to him in this daily conversation? Would he say to the Mishaleich, that the only thing I found was legumes. I only found peas, dry beans, grains. He wouldn't say. As the Rush points out here, and also the Likutei Rashi brings here on the side of the Gemara from Rashi and Chulin Daf Kuf Dalad, who explains Rabbi Akiva's words very well, says the Rashi, Umisham ani mevi rayishu min yarek. From your question on me, that's where I, Rabbi Akiva, bring a proof that it is a yarek. She'ilu loy matzah ala kitnias, loy haya mishivoy, loy matzasi ala kitnias. If he would have only found legumes, he would not have come back to the Mishlech and have said to him that I only found kidneys. Elo, he would have said, Loi matzasi yarek. I didn't find vegetables, period. But beduluyin hoyoymer loi matzasi yarek acher ela deluyin. However, by deluyin, by the gourds, he would have said to the Mishlech, I didn't find any other vegetable except deluyin. The Lama Yoimer came. Why, by kitnius, would he have come back to Mishlech and have said, I didn't find vegetables? And by Deluyim, he would have said, I only found gourds. Why is there a difference? Ella, sheyeshach lilmoicha Deluyim nikrim yorek, veina kitnius bechal yorek. So Rashi explains, the answer is, because by kitnius, he knows that that has no shaychus to yorek, and his master asked him to get yorekos, so he has no havaminit to tell his master, oh, maybe you meant legumes. Legumes are for sure not what the master meant by green leafy vegetables. However, by gourds, it's a gray area, true, it's a gray area, but at least there's a hava minute to say, maybe my master, he would prefer cabbage and lettuce, but if he can't get it, maybe he would take the gourd, and that's why he comes back and says to the master, the only thing I did find was gourd. So, Adarabi, you see that gourd is included in what his master meant by yarek. Ella continues the Mishnah, this is Rabbi Kiva's conclusion, Shadaluyim Bechlal Yorek, Vekitnias, Einan Bechlal Yorek. That's what I have to conclude from this. Concludes the Mishnah, V'osir Bepul HaMitzri Lach Umutter B'Yavesh. Even though we said that legumes are for sure not included in Yerokos, that's only in the case of the Egyptian bean, the Pulah Mitzri, that's only if it's dry. Because dry, as the Tosis explains over here, if it's dry, loy mikri yark, that's not bechlal called a yark. However, if the Pulah Mitzri is moist, then the Likuli Almi have a bechlal yark. Everybody, Rabbi Kiva and the Tanakhama, would agree that that is bechlal yark. As the Mephorshim explained, because the Pulah Mitzri can be eaten in two ways. It can be eaten while it's moist for its green pods. And in that situation, everybody holds while it's still moist, it is considered a yarek, a green vegetable. And when you wait till it gets dried out, then it's eaten as a seed. And then it's zroyim, and it's legumes, and it's not in the category of yarekos at all. Begins the Gemara, Hanoidur min hayarok. We said in the Mishnah that there's a machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Akiva, that if somebody prohibited upon himself yarek, he did not mean to include deluyin according to the Tanakhama. However, Rabbi Akiva says that deluyin could be considered as part of yarekos. Frey the Gemara, v'amin yarek nadar. He said in his neder that I am prohibiting upon myself a yarok, and deluyin are not included, as the Ran explains that this question is on Rabbi Akiva. Even though, as the Ran says, Rabbi Akiva defended his position, and he brought a proof from the normal day-to-day conversation between a mishaleach and a shliach, and as we've learned throughout the Masechta, that the neder always has to reflect what the prevalent custom is as to what a person in his day and age, in his locale, what he is referring to when he uses that particular word to usher that item upon himself. So the Gemara related the exchange between the Mishalech and the Shliach, and Rabbi Akiva looked at it, that it could be included because the Shliach would come back to ask the Mishalech, maybe he does want to have gourd, but the Ran says that even though Rabbi Akiva explained his position, the Gemara still finds it hard to understand. But because after all, This is a yarok, which is not a pri, according to the first pshat in the run, on the first run of the Amud. And he ushered upon himself a green, leafy vegetable like lettuce and cabbage. How could you include a gourd, which is like tomatoes and cucumbers, which are a pri or adama? How could that be included? Or, according to the second pshat of the run, the Gemara's question is, he ushered upon himself something that is eaten chai, raw, and a gourd, and especially a dalas hamitzri, an Egyptian gourd, needs much, much cooking in order to make it edible. So how could I have a havamina that, how could Rabbi Akiva say that that is included in what he prohibited when he used the word yarek? Now, the run speaks out, by pul hamitzri, when it is wet, when it's moist, we can understand that until it becomes dry and it turns into a seed, into a kind of zeroyim that's eaten that way, but while it's moist, it's eaten in a different way as the green pods, and until such time as it becomes dry, it could be considered still a yarek. But in the case of diluyin, it's totally a different item than yarekes. How could Rabbi Akiva include it in his netter of yarekes? Amar Ula, so Ula responded, Boimer yarke kedera lai. He added words. He didn't just say the yarekes should be asarmi, but he said the yarekes of the kedera of the pot I am prohibiting upon myself. So the Gemara understood that this could include, Rabbi Akiva understands that this could include also the gourds, because by adding these words, the person would come back to his master and say, perhaps you want gourds that are cooked in a kedera, and therefore, gourd would also be usher. Ask the Gemara, Vidilma yarek hanechal b'kedera kamar. Maybe when he said yarki kedera olai, he meant a vegetable that is always used, as the Ron explains, like onions and garlics, to give tom. That's what it would seem he means. The connotation of a yarek that's eaten in the kedera means it's always used to spice up the kedera. So that would only include onions and garlic, but it would not include a gourd. The Gemara answers, Boimer, yarek hamizbashel b'kedera lai. He didn't just say yarek hanechal b'kedera, but he said a yarek that is cooked in a kedera. That means any yarek that is cooked in a kedera, even if it's not used for taste, like onions and garlic, even if it's a gourd, but the gourd is cooked in a kedera, by adding these words, hamizbashel b'kedera, he means to prohibit, according to Rabbi Akiva, gourds as well, and especially since he's going to come back to his master and say, perhaps you don't want the leafy vegetables, perhaps you want also the gourd which I found in the marketplace. So the run says that the halacha lemai says he's going to say on Amud Beis, he's going to prove it on Amud Beis from a stam mishnah in Chulin daf kuf dalet amud alef that goes like Rabbi Akiva. The halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, that anything that a shliach would come back to ask, perhaps you would want this because I can't find the other one, that is included in his neder. And therefore, the run, going with the first mahalach in the Gemara, that the Gemara is asking simply that he prohibited upon himself green vegetables and not pre-adama, and a gourd is a pre-adama, and the Gemara answers, it depends what he says. So the run says that it comes out from the Gemara, halacha lemaisa, that there will be three halachas. If the person says, I prohibit upon myself a yarek, and he didn't add any words, then he's only usher in green vegetables. He is not usher in gourds or cucumbers or tomatoes in pre-adama. If he said the words, he added some word, a word, kedera, yarek kedera olai, so then he means to prohibit those Peiros Adama, which come to give taste into the food. And that would include garlic and onions, but it would not include diluyin, because diluyin are not given for taste. They're eaten as a separate dish. They're not used as a spice in other foods. So, and when he used the extra word of yere kedera olai, he meant only things that are used to give taste to the food. However, if he says yerek hamizbashel b'kedera olai, any yerek that is cooked in a pot should be prohibited upon me, then he prohibits not only vegetables used for spice, but even a pri adama like gourds would be included as well. And now the run goes to the Ist Mefarshi, according to the second pshat that we learned in the first run on top of the Yomud, that the Gemara's approach here has to do with whether it's eaten raw or cooked. So the Gemara's question was, how could Rabbi Akiva say that a diluyin, a gourd, is included in yorek, when yorek means raw and diluyin you have to cook? And the Gemara's answer, according to this approach in the Gemara, is that he said, yarke kedera olai, and that the Gemara thought would include gourds as well, because he means to include even something that has to be cooked, like a diluyin. The Gemara asked, maybe he meant yarek hanechel bekedera komar. So the run, according to this second pshat, explains that maybe he's only including, when he used the word yarki kedera, something that could also be cooked. Like, let's say, a garlic. A garlic can be eaten raw, but it could also be cooked. It's not always cooked, but sometimes cooked. So when he says something that's eaten in a pot, he means to include something that could be eaten raw or cooked. However, a delas or a delas hamitzri that can only be eaten after much cooking, that is not included. The Gemara says, according to Rabbi Akiva, speaking about when he said, yarek hamizbashel b'kedera olai. And then what he meant to include is not only something that's sometimes cooked, but even something that the only way to eat it is by much cooking. And therefore, again, the Ran says, we have three halachas. If he said, noidu min ha-yarek, he's only usher in green vegetables, which are always eaten raw. And he's mutter in anything that is cooked, even if it's sometimes eaten raw and sometimes cooked. If he says yarki kedera olai, then he's usher in things like garlic, which are sometimes eaten raw and sometimes cooked. And finally, if he said yerek hamizbashel b'kedera olai, then he is prohibited even in those pre-adoma, those vegetables, that the only way to eat them is by much cooking. Continues the Gemara, but my commiflically, what is the source or the nekuda, the point of the argument between the Tanakhama, the Chachamim, versus Rabbi Akiva? Why does the Tanakhama say that diluyin are not included in yarek? And Rabbi Akiva says that diluyin are included in yarek. The Gemara answers, Rabbanan Savri, kol milso v'tzor shalich olem luchi Allah, anything that a shalich has to come back to the Mishalech and ask the Mishalech, perhaps you want to have a gourd, lav minohu, then that's not included in what the person was making the netter on. Because by the mere fact that he didn't take it right away, buy it, he had to come back to ask the Mishalech, do you still want me to get the gourd? That's a proof that it's not considered a yarek. Rabbi Akiva sovereign, Rabbi Akiva disagrees, and he holds, kol milso de mimel shlicha lo minehu, anything that a shlich would come back, he would entertain. Yes, it's a gray area, but he would have a havim, and perhaps my master will be satisfied with a gourd. I'm not going to discuss legumes with my master. I know that's totally out of what he's asking me to do. He wants a vegetable. He doesn't want legumes. He doesn't want dried beans. He doesn't want peas. I'm not even going to ask him that. However, I will ask him gourds. The fact that it's a possibility, he'll say yes, that's a proof that it is included. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva says that if somebody prohibited a yarek upon himself, it includes diluyin as well. Amar Abaye says, Abaye, moide Rabbi Akiva linya malka shein alaike. Rabbi Akiva agrees concerning malkus that he does not get malkus. Ein echanami, it's usher for him to eat diluyin if he said, I prohibit yarek olai, diluyin are included because the shaliach may come back to ask the shaliach, do you want me to get for you the diluyin? But since that's only misafik. And it's all others learn it's only a din derabbanan because we are worried that perhaps he did mean to include that. But it's not definitely chayiv. He won't be chayiv deraisa. He won't be chayiv malkus. So inyan malkus, since we only know it from the extra words that he added, and we're not 100% sure that he really wants to include it, it's only midrabban, and therefore malkus he will not get. Tanan hasam, we learned over there in a Mishnah Me'ila, we know that there is a rule. B'cholatar kulav ein shliach l'dvar aveira. Normally, if I send somebody to do something for me, he's my shliach, so whatever he does, it's as if I did it. But if I tell the messenger to do an aveira, and he does the aveira, then I do not get the punishment for that aveira, as the Gemara says in Kedushin, Divrei Arava, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishaimin. If the Rebbe, Hashem, tells you not to do this, and the student, the master, said you should do it, of course, who do you have to listen to? To the Rebbe, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you didn't listen to Hashem. So you take the onus upon yourself. You are guilty for doing that aveira. There are some exceptions. One of the exceptions is Me'ila. To be moil from Hegdish, to have pleasure from something that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. There, if I send a shliach to be moil, and he is moil, then we say there is shliach l'dvar aveira. Then the Baal HaBayis is the one, the master who sent the shliach, will be over on the Isser Mila if his shliach did what he asked him to do to be moil behegdish. The reason for this is, as the Ran explains, because the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Mem Beis Amid Beis tells us, we learn chet chet mitruma. We have exer shava by truma. It says the word chet, and by meil it says the word chet. So just like by truma, you can send a shliach to be torum to make truma for you on your crops. So too, we learn out that by meila, even though it involves an avera, and usually the rule is ain shliach ledvar avera, but here because of the exer shava, there is shliach ledvar avera. But that's only if the shliach does precisely what the mishalech asked him to do. If the shliach does not do what the mishalech asked him to do, then the shliach is moel and not the mishalech. Begins the Mishnah in Me'ilah, ha-shliach she'asa shlichusai Baal HaBayis moel. If the shliach did exactly what the Baal HaBayis asked him to do, then the shliach is moel. Lo'yasa shlichusai, but if he deviates, if he does not do precisely what the master asked him to do, shliach mol, then the shliach is mol, then we do not say shliach ledvar vera, as the Ran explains, that dite did enough, shake off it. Because if you didn't do exactly what I asked you to do, you're taking it into your own hands, then you did the avera by yourself. It's not misyaches, the act that you do does not come back to haunt the mishaleach, because you're acting on your own volition. Says the Gemara, Mantano, who is the Tan of this Mishnah that says that if the shliach deviates from what the Baal HaBayis asked him to do, then the Baal HaBayis is not Moal, the shliach is Moal. Amar Rav Chisda, Masnisin, Deloik Rav Akiva. This Mishnah in Masechta Me'ilah will come out not like Rav Akiva of our Mishnah, the Snan. Because we learned further there in that Mishnah, Kate said, what is an example of where the shliach did not do precisely what the mishalech asked him to do? Omar loy the mishalech said to him, tain bas l'archem, give meat to the guests, v'nasan lahem kaved, and instead he took liver from Hegdish, and he gave that to the guests, so he's not doing exactly what the Baal HaBayis asked him to do. The Baal HaBayis asked him to give meat, he gave liver. Or, Tain Kovet, give liver to the guests, from Aslan Basar, and he gave them other meat. So then, since he deviated, since it's a dait to the nafshi of it, he's doing everything by himself, it's then the act that he committed is not Mesiach, is back to the Mishaleach. We do not say in this case by Mila, Yei Shliach Ledvar Aveira, but rather HaShliach Mol. The din is that the Shliach is Mol. And now from here the Gemara has a proof that that Mishnah Mila cannot be going like Rabbi Kiva of our Mishnah. Why? V'i Rabbi Kiva, if that Mishnah would be going like Rabbi Kiva, Ha'amar Rabbi Kiva said in our Mishnah, Kol Milsa de Mimlech Allah Shliach Minehu. Anything that if I send a shliach to buy me some vegetables in the marketplace, and he comes back and says, I didn't find vegetables, I found gourds, do you want the gourd? That is included in what he is making a netter on. If he made a netter on yarek, he means gourd. So since when I say busser, I send you to the store to get meat, if you come back to me and say there's no meat. There's liver. Liver is certainly something that you would question. I couldn't find regular meat, but I found liver. So according to Rabbi Akiva, that if Marshall, I would make a netter not to eat meat, that would include not eating liver. Because a shliach would come back to the mishalech and say to him, I couldn't find meat, I only found liver. Do you want that? So we see that liver is considered like other meat, or else the shliach wouldn't ask about it. So if so, how does the Mishnah Milah say that if I asked him to get meat and he brought liver, he is acting on his own? Why is he acting on his own? That's something that would be included in what the master meant when he requested the shliach to get meat. According to Rabbi Akiva, liver is part of meat. So he is fulfilling what the master asked him to do. So why is the halacha that the shliach is moyel? Asked the Gemara, limo balabayis, v'loy limo shliach. The balabayis, according to Rabbi Akiva, should be moyel and not the shliach. So what do we see? That Mishnah in Masechta Me'ilah is not going like Rabbi Akiva. He would be going like the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, that anything that a shliach has to ask on is not considered as part of the item that you were sent for. And that's why you're acting on your own, and that's why the shliach is moyel. So now we know who the Tanakhama of our Mishnah is. That's the same Tana of the Mishnah in Masechta Me'ilah, which cannot be going like Rabbi Akiva. The run in the end of the third last wide line on the Amid asks a question. What is the Gemara's question? That the Bala Bayis should be more according to Rabbi Akiva and not the Shliach? Didn't we just learn before that Rabbi Akiva agrees that there's no Malkus? It's only a suffix. It's only because words were added. It's only Midrabanan. But here to be over on Mi'ila Daraisa, where did Rabbi Akiva say such a thing? Rabbi Akiva is only being machmir that we include gourds in Yarok. Who says Rabbi Akiva would say that kaved liver should be chayiv midaraisa on being over on me'ilah because it's concluded in basar? On this, the Ran answers that there's a difference between kaved versus basar and diluyan versus yarek. Diluyan versus yarek, really, diluyan is separated from yarek. As the Gemara originally asked, how could diluyan be part of yarek? One is raw and the other is cooked. One is yarek and the other is a pri. And the Gemara had to answer that speaking about where he added words, that he said the yarek comes bashul b'kedera olai. And again, only because Rabbi Akiva says that the shliach came back to ask the mishalech if this is what he wants also. That's only by yarek and diluyan. Whereas the Gemara assumes that by basar and kaved, after all, kaved is a part of the flesh of the animal. It is basar. So there the Gemara assumes that certainly Rabbi Akiva would hold that it would be over midaraisa. It's such an integral part of meat that it's stronger than the case of the luyin and yorick, where it's only a chumra misafik and maybe it's only a rabbanan. No, here liver is much more connected to basar than the luyin is to yorick, and therefore the Gemara is saying, according to Rabbi Akiva, the balabai should be moiled because the shliach is feeding something to the guests, which would be included in what the Baal Abaya said is basar. Amar Abaya says, Abaya, no proof. You have no proof from the Mishnah Milah that it's not going like Rabbi Akiva. Filotem Rabbi Akiva. Even if you say the Mishnah Milah is going like Rabbi Akiva, as we turn to Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, Miloy Maida Rabbi Akiva, the Tzarechim Luchei. Does not Rabbi Akiva agree that the Shliach has to consult with the Mishalech, as the Ran explains, that there's a simple distinction between our Mishnah here in the Dorm and the Mishnah Me'ilah. In our Mishnah, the question is, when somebody makes a neder on meat, somebody makes a neder on your rakais, somebody makes a neder on meat, does he mean to include kaved? So according to Rabbi Akiva, even though the shliach would come back to ask the mishalayach, do you perhaps want some liver? I couldn't find any other meat. So Rabbi Akiva says that that's a proof that liver is considered meat, and it would be included in his netter of basar, as we'll see further on this omit, that kaved would be considered, according to Rabbi Akiva, as being part of basar. But that's only Linyan Nedarim. But here, Legabe Me'ila, we're saying, Einachanami, if the Shliach would have come back to the Mishaleach and asked them, perhaps you want Kaveh. But the fact is, he didn't come back to ask the Mishaleach. He just did it on his own. Even though Rabbi Akiva says, Linyan Nedarim, the mere possibility that a Shliach would come back to the Mishaleach and says, all I could find was no meat, but I found liver. That's a proof that liver is part of meat. But le'inyan me'ila, it would, in order for the balabayas to be moil, it would be necessary for the shliach actually to come back to the Mishaleach and say, you asked me to get meat for the guests, I couldn't get meat, all I could get is liver. And then the balabayas would say to him, okay, get liver, if that's all you can get. And then in Chanami, the balabais would be moil. But since the shliach acted on his own volition, he didn't go back to the mishaleach and consult. The mishaleach said, bring me meat. And without consultation, he went ahead and brought liver. So then I say that it's not a piece of any other kind of meat. It's not considered absolutely some other meat that we should say that he's doing exactly what the Mishaleach told him to do. It's a gray area. So you have to consult. He didn't consult. Then L'Ginyan Me'ila, we say, he did it, Adai to the Nafshe, he did it on his own volition, the Shliach is a Moil, and not the Mishaleach. So it could be, says Abai, that even Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah, that would include Kaved as part of Basar L'Ginyan Neder, would not include it, L'Gabe, the Baal Abayis being Moil. It Mishmaitzah Kameh to Rava, the Ron explains, this teretz of Abaya to be Miyashev, the Mishnah Me'ila, that it could go according to Rabbi Akiva as well, was said over in front of Rava. Amar Lohain, he said to the, Rava said to the people who told him this teretz of Abaya, Shaper Amar Nachmeni, Abaya, who was also known as Nachmeni, he said, very good, this is Taka, very good teretz, that the Mishnah Me'ila could go according to Rabbi Akiva. The Ron learns that Abaya was brought, he was called Nachmeni because he was brought up by his uncle, Rabba Bar Nachmeni, and therefore he was referred to by Rabba's father, Nachmeni. Abaya was a Yosim, his father died before he was born, and subsequent to his birth, right afterwards, his mother died, and he was left without both parents, and he was raised by his uncle, Rabba Bar Nachmeni, and given the title of Nachmeni after Rabba's father. However, it's interesting to note that the Orach and Rashi Bava Metzia learned just the opposite, that really his name was Nachmeni. But Rabba Bar Nachmeni did not want to call Nachmeni after his father, because his father's name was Nachmeni, so he didn't want to refer to him as Nachmeni, and therefore he changed Nachmeni's name to Abaya, just the opposite of the Ran here. The Ran here says his name was Abaya, and it was changed to Nachmeni, and they learned that his name was Nachmeni, was changed to Abaya. Abaya means, from the Lashon Avi, like Rabba's father's name was Nachmeni, and also they say that Abaya's name stands for the words, Asher b'cho yeruchem yasaim, the Aleph Beis Yud Yud, Asher b'cho yeruchem yasaim, because unfortunately he needed the Rachmanis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the fact that he had lost both of his parents. Mantana de Palagaleta of Akiva, as the Rush explains, now that we have, according to Abai, or according to Nachmeni, we have been able to miyashiv the Mishnah Me'ila, that it should go even according to Rabbi Akiva, so we really haven't found any other Tana that disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. And yet in our Mishnah, we have a Tana that says that any time a Shliach has to ask, do you the Mishaleach mean to perhaps take gourds, then it's not included in Yorok? Kaved would not be included in Basar. So who is now that Tana that disagrees with Rabbi Akiva? The Gemara answers, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Sani we learned in a Brisa, Hanoidim in a Basar, Asr b'chol mini Basar, somebody prohibits meat upon himself, he is Asr in all kinds of meat, as the Rush explains, Bakr v'tsoin v'chaya, he's Asr in large animals, he's Asr in sheep and goat, smaller, behemadakos, and not only Gassas, but Dakas also, and he's also in Chaya, in wild, non-domesticated animals. Vo Osir, he's also Osir. Beroish, in the head. Viraglime the feet, bekana the windpipe, bekave the liver, belave the heart, ubaifis, and in bird meat. So all of these, even though they are not mamish regular kind of meat, but the Tanakama, this is Rabbi Akiva, Shita, holds that since the Shliach would consult with his Mishaleach, I couldn't find regular meat, would you take from the head or the feet or the windpipe, etc., since he would consult, it is considered as regular meat, and therefore he's prohibited in it. However, even according to the Tanakhama here, mutter bebasar dogim, he's mutter to eat the flesh of fish, because that he would not consult with his master. V'chagovim, and even those permitted grasshoppers, which the Gemara in Chulin gives simonim, and one of the simonim is ushmo chagav, that it's called by people as chagav, those permitted grasshoppers, those permitted locusts, that is not included in the netter, because he definitely was not referring to basar of these locusts. That's a sheet of the Tanakhama. Shem Gamliel Oimer, Hanoidim and Abasar, somebody prohibits meat upon himself. Osir b'chol mine basar. He's prohibited in Behema Gassas, Behema Dakas, and Chayas, as the Rosh explained before. Umutter b'roish, uberaglayim, ubekane, ubekoved, ubelev, uboifais. But he is permitted in the head. Meat of the head, the feet, the windpipe, the liver, the heart, and birds. Because the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. And he is of the opinion, as the Ron explains here, the Kivan, the Tzor Shliach Liam Luchi, Alayo, less now, Bechlal Basar Stama. That since the Shliach has to consult, here's the proof that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. On all these types of meat, he would have to consult. If he has to consult, then that's not included in what he meant to prohibit upon himself. The Ein Tzorach Leimer, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, certainly, if Rosh and Raglayim, Makana, etc. are not part of Basar, then certainly Basar Dagim, V'chagovim, which even the Tanakhama's moit is not part of Basar, so that's certainly not included in his netter. V'chein Oy Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel also said, Karbayim, the intestines, lav basar, is not considered basar. Va'ichlein lav bar inish. A person who eats them is not considered a person. The Rosh says, Ella Hedget. He's a, unusual person. He's not following, what regular people do. Someone who eats intestines. And there are different ways to be garish the next words. We will go with the Mefarish here, who says, opposite on the left side, identically opposite the line we're on. Lamai hilchas karbayim lav basar havid. That's how he's goris. Concerning what halacha are intestines not considered basar, that we say the person who eats it is lav bar inish, because it would seem that intestines should be considered basar. So in what sense do I say, in what halacha do I say it's not basar? And the answer is, le'inyin, we leave out the words, eichlein kibasar, le'inyin zvini lav bar inish, concerning buying, he's not a person. As the Mefarish explains, that if he paid the same money for intestines as others pay for regular meat, so he's a hedget, he's not following the norm. The norm considers intestines inferior meat, would never pay the same thing. The only problem with this pshat of the Mefarish is that it doesn't answer the words l'may hilchasa. L'may hilchasa would seem to mean what halacha. This is not a halacha, it's just like a fact. A person who was foolish enough to pay for intestines as much as he would pay for regular meat, he's a hedget. But what halacha? So the Mefarish explained, there is a halacha. If a person bought intestines and paid for it like one would pay for regular meat, and later he finds out that the only thing he can do with the intestines is to feed it to the dogs, and then he comes back to the butcher and says, hey, I paid this money, and it's not human food, it's animal food, it's no mekach tos. He can't say that the butcher cheated him, because there's a regular person does not pay for a regular person, he doesn't buy intestine meat to eat for a human being. The fact that he thought that he's buying it for human consumption, and He is not in the norm. The norm is that this is not human consumption. This is animal food. So you should have known that this is considered animal food, and you were willing to pay that amount for animal food. You can't say to me, I meant this to buy it as human food, and I had to feed it to the animals, because people know that this is not human food. It's only animal food. Now the Gemara wants to understand the reasoning of the Tanna Kamma. The Tanna Kamma made a distinction between bird meat and fish meat. So by basar oif, it's included in his netter, and basar dogim is not included in his netter. What is the difference? By basar oif, according to the Tanna Kamma, it is included. That's a sheet of Rabbi Kiva, da'avit shlicha d'mimlechalei, because it's something that the shliach would come back to the mishalech and question. So basar dogim nami, the shliach would also come back to ask about fish, the eloi mashka bisra, if he wouldn't find any meat, the butchers don't have any more meat, mimlechalei, he would come back to the mishalech and he would say, the amar, and he would say, eloi mishkachna bisra, I see dogim, if I don't have meat, should I bring fish? Villets are just like basar oif is osir, so basar dogim should also be osir. And the Mefarshim try to understand here, why is there a double lashon? The Gemara should have just said, he's mimlech alei, he comes back. Why does the Gemara have to repeat? And he says that if I don't find bisra, I'll find dogim. Should I bring dogim? So the Marik explains that what the Gemara means to say is not that the shliach is saying these words, eloi mishkachna bisra, I see dogim. That's what people think about. People think, if I won't be able to get meat, what will I eat instead? I'll eat fish. So the Gemara is just proving that this is a type of food that someone who wants to eat meat and is unable to find the meat, he will substitute it with fish. And therefore, we could say that the shliach would consult with the mishalech that perhaps you want me to get fish if I can't find meat. So the Gemara's kasha is that why do I include basar oif? Because he's mimlech with the mishalech. Basar dogim, he would also be mimlech with the mishalech. So it should also be osir according to the Tanna Kamma. Amar Abaye, no. Kegoin shehik is dam. He let bloodletting. The loyachal dogim, because it's not good to eat fish once you gave blood. And this is speaking about a case where he gave blood. And mimela, fish could not be included. He didn't mean to asr fish because he never would want to eat the fish. And since it wasn't included, lemaisa, if later he does want to eat the fish, he would be permitted. If so, if you're telling me that he just let out blood and therefore it's not good for him to eat fish, it's not good for him to eat bird meat either. Da'amar Shmuel, Shmuel was a prominent doctor, as we find in the Gemara, who knew all about medicines and about ailments. Shmuel said, the Mesaycher, a person who lets blood, va'achal bisra tzipara, and he eats bird meat, parach libek tzipara. His heart will flutter quickly like that of a bird. Like a bird flutters, that's how his heart will flutter. In other words, it'll be fast-paced. It's not healthy to someone who let out blood to eat bird meat. So not only is it not healthy to eat fish meat, it's not healthy to eat bird meat either. And Vitanya, we learned in a brisa, Emekizin, loyal dogim, if somebody ate fish, you shouldn't let out blood. Loyal loifus, or if you ate bird meat. Loyal basar maliach, and not if you ate very salted meat. Vitanya, we learned in another brisa. Hik is dam, if he let out blood. Loyachal, he shouldn't eat the following things. Loy cholov, not milk. Like lina, not cheese. Loy bayim, not eggs. Loy shechlaim, not crest. Loy oifus, and not bird meat. Loy basar maliach, and not this overly salted meat. So we see that both, fish and birds is something that a person should not eat if he let out blood. So if you tell me that fish is not included, then bird meat should also not be included. The Gemara answers, no. Even though he let out blood, he did mean to include birds. Why? Shiny oifus, dev shayide shlika. Birds, you can't do, fish meat, there's nothing you could do. Whether you boil it, you roast it, whatever you do to it, it's not healthy once you let out blood. However, by bird meat, it's only not healthy if you roast it. But if you boil it by cooking it, then in the Hanami, it's not a health problem. Therefore, when he said that I don't want to eat meat, we say even though he let out blood, he did mean to include Basar Oif, because he could prepare it in a way that it will not be harmful to him. Abai Omar Abai, he gives a different teretz. It's speaking about not that he let out blood, but going to Kaivalei Eine. His eyes are hurting him. The dog in Kashimlei Naim. If your eyes are hurting you, it's not good to eat fish meat, and therefore he did not include it, but Basar Oif is not a problem, and therefore he did include Basar Oif. The Gemara asks Akasha, if it's speaking about that his eyes hurt him, Yehachi, Ochel Dogim. Adar Rabbi, he should eat fish. It's good for him. And therefore it should be included in the Neder. Why? Darmer Shmuel, because the doctor, the great Talmud Chacham, the great Gadol, but also the great doctor Shmuel told us, a mnemonic, that the letters of Nun, Samach, and Ayin, if you spell out each letter, the letter Nun would be spelled out, Nun Vav Nun. The letter Samach is Samach Mem Endachav. The letter Ayin is Ayin Yud Nun. That stands for those three letters, when spelled out in its full form, stands for the following three words. Nunna Samol Einayim. That a Nun, which is a Nunna of fish, is Samo, is a refuah. Samach means Samo, it's a refuah, it's a therapy, it's medication, it's good, it cures leinayim, to the ayin, to your eyes. So Adarabba, fish is good for the eyes, Shmuel said. So why do I say that it's not included in his netter? Because his eyes are hurting him. Adarabba, that's the time when you should eat fish, it's good for your eyes. To get more answers, Ahu Saif Uchla, that is, Uchla means his machla, his sickness. At the end of his sickness, that's when Shmuel said it's good to eat fish. But at the beginning of his sickness, when his eyes begin to hurt, then it is not good to eat fish. We are speaking over here that he made this netter when it was at the beginning of his sickness, when his eyes started to hurt. At that point, even Shmuel agrees that fish is not good, therefore it was not included in his netter. Mashenk and Basar Oif is not harmful to him, and it was included in his netter, and therefore Basar Oif will be Osir according to the Tanakhama, and Basar Dogim will not be part of his netter and will be Mutter.